You're listening to the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. Roto Experts in the Morning is on now.
All right, welcome back. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. Matt Modica in for Mike Blewett today. We don't know where Mike is. Maybe Pittsburgh, maybe not. Maybe he just didn't want to be here.
Secret agent, man,
yeah. Mike Blewett will be back tomorrow. At least as far as I know, he'll be back tomorrow. Maybe he's got something to do. 7 to 10 tomorrow, Mike and I will be back here. We have 1 hour left, Matt. We're talking some baseball here. We're talking about mainly, I guess, the negative sorts, right? Going to keep that up, Mike.
Yeah, I have a question. Bryce Harper for 2017. He's pretty much going, I'd say, 8th or 9th overall. Pretty much the top 7 have pretty much been a consensus. So at 8, if you had the 8th pick and first 7 went as usual, would you take Bryce Harper or Manny Machado?
I'm a Harper believer. I think he does bounce back. I think the shoulder injury did play a part in it last year. I'll take Harper, and I love Manny Machado. But I'm going to go Harper here. Maybe it's because we start 5 outfielders, so I don't mind taking him a couple slots ahead of where his ADP maybe right now. And he's tearing up in the spring again, which he does pretty much every year. I'm going to equate last year more to the shoulder than anything else. He's healthy. He'll go back to being that player. Am I going to take him 2 overall? No, I'm not going to take him 2 overall. But really, I think if I was drafting, I'd probably have him at 4 or 5.
I totally agree. I think he's a top player. Next year at this time, he's a top 3 player, in my opinion. I mean, 24 years old, he's going to be. I agree with the shoulder. There was definitely something wrong there. In the mixed tout, which was OBP, Rudy Gamble took him 2nd, and I had, especially in an OBP,
I saw that.
I had no problem with that.
Me either. I really don't either.
And I think he's the one guy that does have a chance of leapfrogging to, say, number 5. Somebody will take a chance on Bryce Harper in the next 2 weeks. He will move up in the draft boards.
I agree. I don't think he'll be. I think by the time the opening day comes around, his ADP is about 8 or 9 now. I think it's going to be around 5. I think it's going to go up dramatically.
So next question, let me ask you. I'm looking at NFBC, and since March 1st, which is when you really got to start looking at it now. They have overall,
agreed,
but wipe that away. The last 25 drafts that have occurred, Mookie Betts and Clayton Kershaw are the third. They're 2-3. Kershaw was number 2 yesterday. Now they're tied. Let's say Trout goes 1, Kershaw goes 2. Who are you taking with 3rd pick?
Betts.
You are going Betts?
Yeah, I have Betts 2 overall.
Okay.
I'm a Mookie guy. I think he's going to be a very good player. Now, like I said, if I was more positive about Harper, I think Harper's got better skills overall, especially for fantasy purposes, with the home runs we need here and all that. But I'm a big Mookie guy. I would take Mookie over Altuve, Mookie over Goldschmidt, Mookie over Russell. Mookie.
I have a hard time arguing with that. I mean, I know the Nolan Arenado has gotten a nice push, and you really can't knock. Playing at Coors, number 1. I mean, the 40 home runs, the 100, plus maybe 120 RBIs.
I tend to gravitate more towards the outfield because we have to start 5.
I totally agree with you, George, on that, and I think people don't do it enough. I always hear position scarcity, the infield. You got to start 5 outfielders. Starts getting pretty, and there's a lot of third basemen I like.
I think the infield is actually loaded.
Yeah, if you're playing like we mentioned, I'm doing an AL only. You're going to be doing the AL mock. I think in that format, the infield gets a little weak.
Oh, and any kind of only league.
Yeah, but even more so, like the National League, I think it's a deeper for that. But I totally agree. I have no problem going outfielders early. I know some people are opposed to that, having too many outfielders early. First 3 rounds, I want the best 3 players that I can
have.
Same
here.
I'll have a plan depending on where I'm picking. I'm not opposed to taking pitchers early. Doing back-to-back aces is tough. Last year,
I've never done that.
Last year, I took three pitchers with my first three picks in the NFBC main event. I had the number four pick, so I assumed Kershaw was coming to me. Because last year was either Trout, Harper, Goldschmidt. That was pretty much the way it was going.
That was top three, yeah.
So I said to myself, you know what? What if I went three pitchers? If I took the Kershaw advantage and I hammered it down. And I was happy what I got. I had Kershaw, Fernandez, and Syndergaard.
Ooh.
So that was a pretty big hammer I was wielding early. The problem was, the mistakes were made on players like Randall Grichuk, didn't produce for me. Mikel Franco did, but wasn't what I was expecting. I think I had Sano. I went with a lot of high upside, and I got burned that way. But I'm not opposed to taking the back-to-back aces if you have a game plan, or at least taking a starting pitcher in the first round. As long as you map it out.
Yeah, I've no problem taking Kershaw in round one. I think he's the only starting pitcher I would take in round. I'm talking, once again, the 12-team leagues, for the most part, is what I talk about. It's what most of our listeners play in, so it's generally what I go with there. I have no problem taking Kershaw first round. None. I've never, ever, I don't even think in a mock, have I ever taken starting pitch in the first two rounds. So it's unlikely I'll do that. Not against the, you know, so if I end up getting Kershaw in round one and then Thor staring at me in round two and there's no one else I'm in love with, every pick that was taken was in the same order I have. I'm certainly not against it, but it just has never come to me. But one thing I do is I'm taking a starting pitch in the first two rounds. Mm-hmm. I can't see how I'm not.
Yeah, I think with the current landscape of pitching, I think it's imperative that you do get one in the first three rounds. Because it just starts getting, not that they're not good, but it starts getting more sketchy, and I think you have to start playing the volume game a lot earlier to try and make up to hopefully one of those guys pop. And because there are some nice guys I do like right after that second round, like a Carlos Correa is a guy I think is really gonna see the superstar status emerge this year. A Sterling Marte, I think he's basically everything people want Trey Turner to be.
Yeah, Trey Turner's an interesting little... I can't take him round one.
Me neither. I'm not saying he's not going to be good. I can see where he could be a top five player. I'm not paying to find out.
All right, you and I are on the same exact wavelength there. I think the same thing. I think it's going to be... I'm not negative on Trey Turner.
I'll take Miguel Cabrera if I had to.
So on.
And then I'll take Sterling Marte in the second round, or even Jonathan Villar, who the people who I do believe is going to regress somewhat, but he has a lot to regress too. Villar hit 13 of his 19 home runs on the road. He didn't even hit them all in Miller Park, and he had a 35% hard hit rate last year. Even if you're not hitting a ton of fly balls, it's hard to field those balls the harder they're hit. So I don't think he's really gonna crumble. And if I could get him 10 picks later, if you could pair Miguel Cabrera with a Marte and a Villar, I'll take that any day of the week.
Yeah, I have no problem with any of those players. They're all on my list of guys I wouldn't mind grabbing. Gary Sanchez.
I just, could he hit 30 home runs? Yes. I don't think he hits 30. I honestly don't. I think he's got a cannon of an arm. I don't think he gets enough credit for that, what he does. It was all I kept hearing for the last few years was how he was a terrible defensive catcher, this and that. I saw him last year in the Arizona Fall League. I believe he was the MVP of the Fall Star game that year. I think he hit a homer. He was throwing out guys every game I watched that he was
He's
in.
Got a cannon.
You just have to... He never was hitting home runs at the rate that he was doing last year. That home run to fly ball rate is just unsustainable. I think he could hit 27 home runs, maybe bat 270. I don't think he's a 300 hitter. It's a big difference. If you break down his 2 months, if you look at August and you break down August and September, you're going to be a little surprised. He still hit the home runs, but the average was totally different, and I think people are just paying too high. I see if you can get an advantage with the catcher, but I'm not paying that price for him.
Are you a catcher guy?
I am not a catcher guy. If I was, I would pay up for Lucroy or Posey, I would not pay up for Sanchez.
Yeah, I'm not a catcher. I think everybody knows that by now, and I'm not going to go into it again. I hate catchers. So I'm not. I don't draft catchers early. It's a rarity that I'll grab one early. Two catchers I am looking at, though, a lot late in drafts because I'll wait forever. And two catcher leagues, I think, is psychotic. I think the AL only mock is a two catcher league. Are you kidding me? I mean, I
like it. I honestly got into this playing all 12 teams and only 12 teams, and then I fell in love with NFBC, and that it's pretty much 15 team format. They do offer the 12 teams as well, but I kind of like getting really deep into. Getting deep into all the positions.
It is two catchers. I mean, come on. And I got the last pick. Who rigged this draft? All right, Mike Waterloo. You know, great. Thanks, Mike. Yeah, I'm not big. But two guys I've been looking at late. I'm talking mixed leagues again now, not AL only. Mesoraco and Gomes.
Yeah, Devin Mesoraco, he's worth taking a shot on. Yan Gomes as well. These are guys that have power. Mesoraco just can't stay healthy. Gomes, everything went wrong, injuries too, and you know, just bad play, just terrible at the plate as well. A guy late that I like that doesn't get enough credit, in my opinion, is just safe. He's nothing nice about, you know, nothing pops off the page, but is a Stephen Vogt. I mean, I don't think there's really. I don't think there's much difference between him and Matt Wieters, and they go a few rounds apart. So, I mean, what has Matt Wieters done the last few years that Stephen Vogt has? Could Matt Wieters hit 22 home runs? Absolutely. But, I mean, it's been a few years since he has.
He's going to hit that in Washington. 81 home games in that ballpark. You throw in another 9 at Citi Field, 9 in that thing in Miami. That's 100 games already in Parks.
And he's got to learn a whole new rotation.
That's the key. I think that's his first job,
That's why I wanted him to sign with Tampa, because at least he was still in the American League East. He had those ballparks. He was comfortable there. I know he's in Washington, the Baltimore, everything. So that's one positive, if you want to look at that.
Well, I agree with you. I think I would have much preferred to stay in the American League as well. I always worry. I don't know how you feel about this. Now, when I say worry, I'm not saying I'm staying up at night. You know, I can't stay sweating in bed. But I always get concerned about players who switch leagues.
Yes. It's a totally different landscape. And maybe it could work out that the pitchers don't know you neither. Sometimes it does work in their favor. But I agree. I find most times it swings the opposite way. Right. And it winds up hurting the player. And you need that adjustment period.
Yeah, no, I agree. They, like I said, I'm not saying I wouldn't draft these players, but it concerns me that, like I said, how long is that adjustment period? Month, weeks, half season? Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know, some players are creatures of habit. They have little books on every pitcher. Now you go switch leagues. I know this at the league play now, which I like.
I like it too.
I like it quite a bit. I have no issues with it. I don't care that as we won interleague game each day. What do I care? It means nothing to me. We're football fans. We're used to playing the other conference. Doesn't bother me at least. Hockey, same thing. But I do get concerned about these guys. When I say concerned, it means I may drop them a little bit. I'm not saying I'm dropping them 10 rounds. But it could be a tiebreaker for me easily, where I'll stick with the other guy.
How about an interesting player, Eric Thames? What do you think of him? I mean, his steamer projection is just out of this world. I mean, if he does live up to that, that's a hell of a return.
You know, every time I hear steamer, it's hard not to. Engel says it all the time. And it's just, I feel like Beavis and Butthead and giggle a little bit, which is, I know, I am immature. I'm sorry. I apologize. Eric Thames. I'm not over the moon on him. I haven't taken him in any of the mocks or anything else I've done right now. I get the love. You know, I think he's certainly going to get a chance. Listen, Milwaukee's mailing it in. Right? We know that. They're going to be one of these teams like the Astros and Cubs have done draft picks. So you know he's going to get the opportunity. Obviously, we're looking for power. You know, does that power come with a cost somewhere? You know, you look at his average all through, good. I don't think it's going to hurt you. I think he's a guy you can get late, and he could pay off for you. I think this is a guy who might be one of those guys I would say could win you a league. Because you might get him in double-digit rounds, and all of a sudden he does hit 38 home runs, drives in 110 runs, and doesn't hurt your average. You know, so that could be a guy who wins you a league. So, yes, I'm curious about him. haven't had a chance to grab him yet because it's going to be in the back of my mind. Oh, what if he doesn't hit at all?
Yeah, no, I mean, it's interesting. If he hits like high 20s, steals a dozen bases, and has a respectable average for where he's going, that's a huge profit center right there.
Yeah, and we need some of those guys, right? I mean, especially if you're in a league, you know, if you're in a league where you trade away draft picks and you need somebody late to pay off, perfect guy for you. Take a little chance on maybe even take a couple of rounds before his ADP says he should go.
Yeah, Milwaukee's has some farm system now. They've done a hell of a job.
Yeah, they were barren for a while. They listen, in today's baseball, I get it.
I mean, just look at the Yankees, how fast they turned that around, too.
Well, the Yankees for a while on the George Steinbrenner were trading away. He was like, we're going to win now. And listen, I'm a Yankee fan. I got it.
What was that guy's name that he got suspended for again? The guy
Spoda?
Yeah, yeah.
Spira.
Yeah. Spira or something like that. That was the best thing that ever happened to the Yankees.
Yeah. Gene Michael took over and got around. I mean, this is Steinbrenner wanted to trade Bernie Williams at one time.
There were some dark days in the 80s. I mean, yeah, I remember all of a sudden there was a lot of Met fans. Nobody was really a Met fan.
After 80, pretty much 81, Jackson left, I think, in 83. You know, Don Mattingly really carried that team for as far as publicity-wise for a long time, Winfield as well. But, yeah, they were the Yankees were – listen, they were a fun team in the late 80s. Mm-hmm. They would lose 10 games 10-9. They're going to score a lot of runs. They're going to give up a lot of runs as well. Steinbrenner made some – he made some mistakes. Trey Beck, he traded away several of us. That's just what they believed in at the time. Didn't work. And you're absolutely right, though. The best thing for the Yankees in the 90s was that suspension of Steinbrenner. And we're going to suspend the show for about 2 minutes, and we'll get back to you after this.
Welcome back. This is Matt Modica with George Kurtz. Saturday morning, Roto Experts Weekend Edition. And we are talking some fantasy baseball on this frigid Saturday morning.
It's a lovely Saturday. What are you talking about? It's beach weather.
Well, at least maybe we're getting prepped for the upcoming storm. Put it that way.
Yeah, I think what a nor'easter, Monday into Tuesday is. We're praying that it gets a little warm, so it's rain instead of snow. I know I am. I don't want to deal with snow. I know you don't have to shovel, but and I got a snowblower. It's still a pain in the neck. It's just ugh. My niece is upstate, so maybe she'll be stuck up there. I guess that's a good thing. I shouldn't say that. I know that's terrible. But
you want to talk a couple of middle infielders?
Sure. Well, who do you have in mind?
Thinking if you have the choice between Brian Dozier or Trevor Story. Where are you going with that one?
Dozier or Story, interesting. Dozier staying in Minnesota all year?
I mean, somebody could pry him away. If somebody's offering top-tier pitching talent, which Minnesota desperately needs.
Well, with De Leon.
Yeah, well, I think they were holding out for Bellinger, too.
Yeah.
They wanted that guy.
That would be an overpay.
I don't blame them, because I saw him this past season at Arizona Fall League, and he doesn't get cheated.
I think that'd be an overpay. And I think L.A. knows Bellinger's heir apparent. It fits perfectly for them. To answer your question, wow, that's actually not easy. I'm going to go Dozier. I'll take the speed combo.
I'm going to go Dozier just for the fact, as you mentioned, I mean, he's got the speed combo too. I think Story could steal more bases this year, but Dozier, it's the consistency. It's the 100 runs every year. Do I think he's hitting 42 home runs? Absolutely not. I don't think he hits 40 home runs. I'll have him for 27, 28, with the possibility of, say, hitting maybe 31, 32. But I'm not looking at 42. Now, Story could hit 40. He could hit 40. He could also bat 220. It's a really tough call for me as well. I'm just taking Dozier for the proven track record, and he gets 100 runs every year. Book it.
Let's stick with more. How about Minnesota? You mentioned Sano earlier. What are your expectations this year?
He's the boom or bust. That strikeout percentage is frightening beyond compare. But, I mean, the power, it's guys like Sano and Grychek last year kind of killed you. Grychek hit 25 home runs or whatever, or something close to that. But he was in and out of the lineup in the minor leagues. He was somebody that you could never trust to play. Both guys I liked this year. I mean, if you, that's one of the things that gets a little over it. If you build an average foundation early, you're allowed to, it allows you to take these shots on these guys that have these high upside power potentials. I mean, second half of the year, Grychek led the league with a 48% hard hit rate. Miguel Sano, I mean, he's one of the guys that clearly can hit 40 home runs. If he can improve on his contact rate, he's a right-handed hitter, which isn't bad in Target Field. Everybody tries to make it like Target Field is a bad spot. Target Field, when I was doing the overlay for Brian Dozier, remember he was going to go to the Dodgers, it was like all but a done deal, as you mentioned. He actually would have lost a couple of home runs just off of that overlay thing on the ESPN home tracker. So Sano's a guy, if you set up your roster correctly, I probably, in the range they're going, would go Joey Bautista. Yes. I mean, Jose Bautista. I love calling him Joey Bat, so I'm calling him Joey Bautista. But I think Bautista has a nice bounce back season.
I'd agree. I'd go Bautista with Sano as well. I have hopes for Sano. This guy was a valued prospect at one point. Mm-hmm. This will be the next big, really big thing here. Target Field's proven to be not as big a pitch as ballpark as we thought it might be. It's really kind of neutral, so good news there. But I think they have so many intriguing here. I mean, how about Byron Buxton?
I just think Buxton's talent will win out eventually. And we haven't even seen one of his greatest tools, which is his world-class speed. I mean, he can run like the wind, Buxton. He's just got to start making better contact.
Get on base.
I'm encouraged by last September. I know people say, oh, September, rosters expand. If you look at the home runs he hit them off of Verlander, Chris Sale, Kelvin Herrera, I think even Quintana. I mean, he hit them off of some really good pitchers. I suppose like Trey Turner, who hit him off of like these quad A guys or these minor league rejects, if you want to just go that route. So Minnesota could be, as you say. The thing about Sano, just get back to him for a second, is he does offer third base outfield eligibility, which is kind of very nice.
My guy, he's a goalie at third base, and maybe not a good one.
Well, I think he's, put it this way, I think he's a better third baseman, believe it or not, than outfielder.
That's scary. That's scary. I mean, listen, fantasy-wise, we don't care how many errors. I'm assuming. I actually have heard some leagues that we do lose points for errors. I think it's kind of funny. I find that kind of funny. I think he's a future DH. I don't think he's going to have a position in the field.
Well,
but that's...
Byron Buxton, what would you pay? Would you pay a 10th? Let's see. Would you pay him in a 12-team league? Is the 12th round?
You can get him better. I mean, you can wait.
Really? He's going later than that?
The mocks we just did a mock, and I grabbed them. I got him at close to 20. People just don't. I mean, this is an expert mock.
See, what I'm looking at in the 15-teamers, he was actually going higher. I think maybe he struck out a few games. And last night when the draft I was doing, he fell a little, and I should have took him. I didn't take him. I kind of regretted that. I just took Kiermaier. I needed a pitcher. So I had the 15th pick. So I went Kiermaier. I forget what pitcher I took, but I needed to take another arm. And I chose Kiermaier over Buxton.
It depends what you're looking for there. I mean, generally, when I'm almost always looking for speed at the round 10. I'm usually a little short. I'm not a D. Hamilton. I'm not a D. Gordon or Billy Hamilton where I'm going to draft them in round 5 to solve that problem.
I took Billy Hamilton last night.
Never done that. I really should do that in a mock to see what my team looks like, see if I can live with it. But I really just... Just not a big fan of drafting solo category guys.
I usually am not. I just think Billy Hamilton this season, if he gets the 600 plate appearances, I think 75 to 90 stolen bases is a very good reality.
I think it's almost a must, a definite.
The guy, though, if for a person like you that doesn't want to spend that on, say, a Billy Hamilton or even a Jose Peraza, who I like after the 10th round but now is going much higher, is Jared Dyson. He could be the game changer. He could pretty much win you that category. He's only gotten like 300 to 350 at bats the last few years. Steals the 30 bases there. That's a possible 45, 50 stolen base guy.
Yeah, I like Dyson as well. What you're worried about is, well, what if he can't hit?
Yeah.
That's, now, that's always the concern there. But Seattle, that offense is stacked. I mean, if Segura and Dyson can get on base, my God.
Segura is not a guy I've been targeting, but every time when I look at him, I kind of say maybe I should be. Not looking for the 20 home runs, so let's get past that.
12.
He hit like 8 of them in September, too. So right. Yeah.
12 home
12.
Runs.
Even if he gave me 10, I'm happy with that. If he could bat 280 or better, steal you 30-plus bases, I don't see how he does not score over 100 runs. So, and he's got shortstop, second base eligibility.
Nice.
I mean, Nelson Cruz, I love. This is the first year that I was a Stanton guy, Stanton apologist. I'll still take Stanton, but if they're there, I'm going Cruz.
Cruz over Stanton.
Yes,
I agree. Listen, I like Stanton. I don't know. There's a more fun player to watch.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah.
I mean, the home runs he hits are just monumental, fantastic. But once again, what are you banking on? 90 games, 110, 115, 130? We don't know. And that's always a problem. We don't know how many games he's going to play. So that's always going to be an issue as far as Giancarlo Stanton is concerned. But, like I said, I don't know. I mean, I'd want to watch his batting practice and see him hit the balls 9 miles. It's fun to watch here. But I don't
one of these years he is going to play 150 games.
Yes.
I mean, it's going to happen. It could very well be this year. And
I hope he does.
I'm not shying away from Stanton, but
I have him round 3.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I mean, if Stanton plays 150 games this year, we're talking about him as like a
40 first, home runs.
Yeah, and we're talking about him next season. Everybody's like,
first round.
Yeah, he's back in the first round. Right. So the guy that I'm very interested for this season, and I really want to get some more shares of, is Gregory Polanco in Pittsburgh.
I like Polanco. Well, I'm probably not as high on him as most, but I like him. But I do wonder if this is his breakout year, is where he puts it all. He's sort of like taking incremental steps, and I do wonder if this is the year where everything just sets in.
I think he was hampered in the second half by injury, and he had a bit of a swoon with the average. I just think this guy's screaming 2020. He gets to, 280 batting average this year. I mean, I'm not saying he's hitting 300, but, I mean, he gives me 275. A 25-25 season. He's a guy that, I mean, I kind of really like all the Pittsburgh outfielders. The funny thing is, I think it's the way it's been going for the most, it depends on the drafts, but I think McCutcheon is number 3. I mean, Sterling Marte, to me, is he going to hit 20 homers? I don't think so. I don't think he's hitting 9 homers, though. I think he's, the home runs will go up. He's going to bat 280 to 300. Steal you, I mean, his floor is 30 stolen bases. 40's a very good possibility. And I think he's just a fantastic player. So I think the Pittsburgh outfield is something I really like.
Maybe the best outfield in the majors.
Mm-hmm. And rightly so this year, Marte's going to center. I think that will help Andrew McCutcheon. I think McCutcheon is going to bounce back, but the question is, even with his bounce back, I don't see the stolen bases. I mean, is he going to steal some bases? Absolutely. I just really can't project more than, like, say, 10, I mean, 12 tops.
I think you're probably right. The injuries he's had, they may not want him to run anyway unless the game situation actually calls for it. That sort of thing. Sort of what George Springer was hinting at, that he wouldn't have run unless hey, you leave the ninth inning, you're down by a run, you get on base, game situation calls for you to steal a second. I get it.
Yeah, well, I think they kind of maybe told Springer, too. He was just, when you steal 9 bases and you get 10 quick stealings, it's
not a good percentage.
Yeah, that's
No, 45% is not going to work there. So definitely have to work on that. All right, next player. Yeah, we've talked about so many players here. Elvis Andrews.
You know what? Elvis Andrews is a guy that's going to steal you the bases, get you a decent average. It's where is Elvis Andrews batting in the lineup? If he's batting second, he's not a guy I really, nobody ever targets Elvis Andrews. Nobody really wants to draft Elvis Andrews. But is he batting seventh? Is he batting second? Regardless, he's a guy that's not going to hurt you. He'll give you stolen bases. He'll get you the runs. He's probably the better, he is the better option there. The guy I've been taking is probably around later is Tim Anderson, who is a risky upside play. I mean, there is risk with Tim Anderson. I understand it. In my opinion, I've been calling him the poor man's Trey Turner. I think he'll hit 8-9 home runs. If Tim Anderson can get on base, and he really hasn't done it in his minor league career, improve his OBP, that's 30 stolen bases right there. The kid can flat out run. The good thing about him is there's nobody threatening him his position. The White Sox are going to be bad.
When do the White Sox call up Yoan Moncada?
I got to think. I could see possibly keeping him down to, say, like the end of April. At the latest, I think it's Memorial Day-ish. But I think he's going to play because they got to sell tickets still. The Cubs are a hot team in town. People want to see Moncada. They want to see Giolito. They want to see Tim Anderson. Guys that, the third baseman, Todd Frazier, at some point, somebody's going to get hurt. He's going to get moved.
He's going to get dealt.
Do they move even a Jose Abreu? I mean, at the deadline, when you start getting offered the right deals for the right players, somebody feels they're that player away, that one piece.
I think all three, both the guys you mentioned plus Quintana could all be moved.
Well, I think, honestly, I watched that game last night, and if I'm the White Sox, they had to be very, very happy because I'd be looking to move Quintana now. I mean, after the game he pitched, he had a no-hitter in the fifth inning or sixth inning of that game versus Team USA. I mean, he was flat-out shutting them down.
Yeah, he looked fantastic.
He really did. I was like, wow. And that's what I was thinking about. I mean, the White Sox here are really playing – excuse me. They're dealing from strength here. It's not if, it's when Quintana's going to get moved. They're gonna take the approach that the Cubs took a few years back. I think they're gonna see what Theo did. They've made some really good trades. I mean, regardless of what happens, Giolito, Moncada, these were two of the stud prospects that you could possibly get your hands on, and now they're in your organization.
Oh, they've made very astute trades. Like I said, they got three players to deal: Frazier, Quintana. They didn't include Robertson there, too.
Yeah.
So they got players to move here. They could, their farm system is already taking off. It could get even much better. And to talk about your farm system, your drafts, and anything else, the 2017 MLB Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package is out. Get your full season fantasy baseball package for one low price of $29.95, beginning with our deluxe draft package. It is your full season ticket, championship insights and advice, and it all begins with our comprehensive draft package available now and continuing throughout the regular season, guiding your run to a league title. That's the RotoExperts Exclusive Edge Fantasy Baseball Package for 2017 on rotoexperts.com. Go and get it. Good morning and welcome back. Roto Experts Weekend Morning Show. I'm George Kurtz here with Matt Modica, who is in for Mike Blewett, who we think is in Pittsburgh, who will be back tomorrow, or so we think. Coming up next at 10 a.m. is the Weekend Fantasy Update with Joe Galina, Mike Florio, and Frank Stample. They'll take you, I don't know, Pete, what time will they take us till?
10 to 12.
Pete, maybe you should give us the rest of the schedule.
Sure. Then after that is Fantasy Basketball Weekly with Mike Florio and Frank Stample. And then we have the Father and Son NASCAR Hour with Scott and Sean Engel.
You a NASCAR guy, Matt?
Not really. I mean, I could watch for some amount of time. I don't know if I could put like the whole...
Pete, NASCAR guy?
I'll watch it once. and then I'll... That's kind of my fill for the year. Like, I watched the Daytona 500 and all the wrecks that happened, and then that was pretty much it.
Or much of the old George Carlin joke, you know, when am I ever going to see a 38 car accident and not be in the damn thing? So I guess I don't watch it. I don't.
When I was younger, I used to watch the Indianapolis 500 when, you know.
Sounds good, then. Right?
Mario Andretti, I remember that name.
Remember the name, sure. Listen, hey, you enjoy it. We all like things that are different. Like I said, I'm a hockey guy. Not too many people like hockey. But that's what I enjoy watching. So, got to do what you got
to
do.
So, let me ask you a question.
No.
Just to get back on this, we were talking AL-only style, AL players. Carlos Correa in an AL-only, what do you pay for him? How high are you willing to go?
Shortstop AL-only, valuable. I'm not going to go crazy, so I'm not going to have them because I'm not going to spend $40 plus on them. I don't know if I spend $40 plus on anyone other than Trout. And I'm sort of like you, what you mentioned before in Ale Only, where I'm more balanced rather than going a Stars and Studs Stars and Scrubs approach or something like that. So, I mean, theoretically, I'd like to spend in the high 20s, but I think I'll go higher than that, so I'm not going to have him.
Yeah, he's a guy that I want to have, but I don't think it's going to happen today. I think I'm going to have to, because I want to have that balance. I want the at-bats, and I want to have, maybe not, I'm not going to be going maybe after all the high-end arms, but I would like to have a nice rotation, especially in the American League. I think that's an advantage if you can pull something like that.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to our draft with the mock. Because we haven't done an only league ever. I'm surprised it's even happening this year. So, Pablo Sandoval. Late round flyer? No, staying away. Rafael Devers going to have some value later on the season?
I'm staying away from Panda. He's been a guy. Look, he's been fun to watch in the past. And he's been a very good playoff player. That's where I think he's really done his damage. He lost some weight. Good for him. He signed a very nice contract a couple of years ago. He cashed in.
Cha-ching.
He's not a guy. There's other guys I'll take a chance on late. He's not on my radar.
Yeah, I think he's a tough guy to trust. I might take a chance on him late as a CI, where it's no big deal. Bench player. It's funny. I think I'd almost rather have him as a CI than a bench player. I don't know why that is, but this doesn't ring true to me there. But you do wonder if this is maybe finally takes things seriously, maybe finally got in shape. But this is sort of like an Eddie Lacy guy. Just because he's in shape in April doesn't mean he's going to be in shape in June.
I agree. I think that's the perfect comp. And, I mean, even Panda in his heyday, I mean, except for like the 1 year he hit like 3-something, he hasn't been a phenomenal player.
No, I agree.
I think it's more of the aura of Panda that's been...
The playoff Panda.
Yeah, the playoff Panda.
Right, the playoff run from the Giants, he was fantastic. Other than that, not really done all that much. Steven Strasburg.
Love Strasburg, but this is the first season. If I take Strasburg, I have to have like Johnny Cueto with him or somebody.
Yeah, you're gonna need to have a really good
look. He was 12-0 going into the All-Star break last year. I mean, it looked like the Cy Young season was coming together, and then the second half happened. It's frustrating. What, 127 innings 2 years ago, 143 innings. You see the talent. I mean, just as a baseball fan, I mean, being a Mets fan, I want to beat Washington, but I thought a few years back when it was Strasburg versus Harvey, when it was prime Harvey. And I remember the game at Citi Field. It was a Friday night, and the Citi Field crowd was going crazy. And I remember the chant, "Harvey's better."
I remember that too, actually.
I kind of missed that. I wanted to see those two guys going at it every year for like 5 years or something like that in their prime. And that's kind of a shame. As fans of baseball, he is a guy that I can't tell you not to take. And I might even take him too. I think I only have like one share of Strasburg so far. I'm a huge fan. The upside is immense. I'll give you this. We're talking Strasburg. It's kind of funny. I have Yu Darvish as my seventh pitcher. I think I mentioned this before. But I think it's a different situation with Darvish. I think, one, the Rangers aren't going to hold him back. I like what they did with him last year. They brought him along the right way. They're a win-now team. He's in the final year of that contract. So I think Darvish is going to get, unless the arm blows out, he's going to get 180 to 200 innings.
I
just can't say that for Strasburg. I mean, for Strasburg,
that's the problem. I mean
160 is, I mean, he can pitch to 160, strike out 190, and pitch to a 3 ERA, which is still great. I mean, I'd probably sign on for that too if I could at least get that, but he can't be your one. He can't be your one with that.
All right. I promised a buddy of mine, he asked me a question yesterday. I promised him I'd ask you this because I told him you were going to be on the show and that you were the Met guy. What are your thoughts on Mats?
I think Mats has really the upside is there. What I saw last year, really, really liked. Actually, the only bad thing the Mets did with him last year was holding him off for like 10 days at the beginning of the season, which kind of screwed him in that Marlins game. Otherwise, everything I saw about him, I liked. The problem is he's been hurt pretty much at every level all the time. He's a guy that I am taking later on, though. I am taking the shot on him. Of course, one National League. I saw what he could do. And the Mets need him. The Mets really do need him this year. I mean, I don't know what Harvey's given us. Wheeler, he's already had his problems. I mean, look, Gesellman was great, but Gesellman did 44 innings last year. People, like, got him. I mean, I want to take a shot at him. Max is a guy I will take a shot, but you have to have realistic expectations. If I get 160 innings out of Steven Max,
you're thrilled.
I am thrilled, exactly.
All right, so his part two of that question. He can only keep three of these four guys.
Okay.
Max, Brad Miller, Rich Hill, Swanson. One has to go back.
One has to go back. For me,
what are your thoughts on Swanson, first of all?
I think for this year, I guess the comp for him they've kind of said is like a Derek Jeter type player, okay? Which I could see. And Swanson's not a guy that I'm really targeting for 2017.
He's going to be extremely late.
Yeah, but I don't know. I do like the Braves. For the keeper league, Swanson definitely is staying in there. And I'm probably going to go Hill and Mats and give back Brad Miller, because I think that was Brad Miller's career year for home runs and stuff like that.
Soul to soul?
Yeah, pretty much. But what I think about Swanson's is he'll be better as every year gets on. I think he's more of a complete MLB. I think he's maybe a better MLB player than, say, fantasy. A guy I like is Brandon Phillips late. I think Brandon Phillips could hit 290. Nobody wants him, neither. So I don't think he's that much different. But it's keeper league, so I definitely keep Swanson.
Yeah, I think my problem with Swanson is I think he's going to be a better baseball player than fantasy one. You look at his numbers, I mean, power's really not there. Doesn't run. Average is good. That's what he's going to give you. I think he'll get better as he gets used to it. Now, I don't remember offhand how long he can keep these guys for. There was it's not a dynasty league. This was some kind of keeper league. So I don't know if it's for 2 years or whatever it is. I think you keep keeping Mats. You're keeping Hill. I'm keeping the pitchers. It did come down to Miller and Swanson. I think in the end I probably sent Swanson back.
Well, I mean, if he had a chance maybe to win, I mean, I don't know. I mean,
it's not an easy call.
Yeah, no. But I tell you, I'm willing to take the gamble on Hill, and I'm willing to take the gamble on Mats, just from what I've seen.
There's another guy who sold his soul.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great story.
It is. He figures it out that late in his career, which this is not.
Independent league and stuff, to come back from that.
And that's not unusual. You think about it. Baseball's a hard game. Sometimes it does take years upon years upon years before, or maybe before you took the game seriously, mm-hmm. put all the work in, you had to go do it, and it takes a long time to figure out. And we'll figure out this and more when we get back. Final segment, Matt Modica, George Kurtz, coming back. Do you ever wonder where Sincata comes up with half this material?
That was some pretty good ones, though. He had some... The cowboy fan, but he's never been to Brokeback Mountain. That was a good one.
and most of it's just off the cuff stuff with Tony. That's what's really he's good at what he does.
Now was Tony a stand up comic or
yes. He's done that.
I think I remember hearing something like that.
Yeah, Tony's a funny guy. He's a lot of fun to work with. You just don't know what direction he's going to go. I worked with him for 4 or 5 years. I never had any clue. Tony, the next rundown he sends me will be the first rundown he sends me.
Off script.
But I like that.
Yeah, no, I like it too.
I don't know what he's going to do. It's fun. You know, it's informative. We had a good time. We did life advice. We actually got one of our producers once, I'm not going to name her name, to admit that she had a friend with benefits. And to this day, I don't think she realized she admitted that on air. But it was fun and different. But coming up next, we have the weekend fantasy update with Joe Galina, Mike Florio, and Frank Stanfel. I just saw one of them peeking through the studio to peeking through a studio window to make sure, I guess, that we were actually in studio today, or whatever that might be. And they'll take you up until 12, and then Pete went through the schedule before. Pete Contadori, who's been our producer. Pete,
yeah,
everything go well today?
I thought so. I thought it was a great show.
Yeah, we're going to get rid of Blewett.
he's been voted off the island.
He's been voted off the island. We're going to keep him in Pittsburgh. You know, keep him there. No, Mike Blewett and I will be back tomorrow at 7 a.m. to 10. And Matt, what do you got going on?
Tech said tomorrow I'll be with the wife. Looking forward to that. But today, like I said, the AL only.
What time's that? Night, day?
No, 4 o'clock.
Oh,
4
late
o'clock.
Afternoon.
So that'll get done. I got to do some writing, some finishing up on the starter pitcher index that was supposed to be done a few days ago. But we're trying to tie a nice little bow on it and finally get it done.
So once again, I want to thank you for showing up today. All 3 hours. Look at that.
Thank you for having me.
No, my pleasure. My pleasure, Mason. Talk a little baseball, talk a little football. What could go wrong? Mike Blue actually picked a good week to go away. Lots to talk about here with football. I'm sure Matt will go over it again tomorrow. Mike's a big football guy, so I'm sure he's going to want to talk
about
it.
Yeah, I'm sure he's going to want to. I mean, plenty to go around.
I said I'm a Cowboy fan. I'm wondering where Romo ends up. Who makes the big step up? Denver, Houston, or is Dallas is forced to cut him and just save the money on the cap? Today will be a big hockey day for me. 11 hockey games in the NHL today. I'll be playing quite a... My wife's working tonight, so I'll be playing some DFS. You know, and once again, my PSA, clocks forward an hour tonight. Right? Spring forward, yeah. Okay, we always remember that little thing. Go spring forward tonight, so don't forget to set your clocks where you wake up on time tomorrow.
Change the microwave.
Microwave, the oven.
You know, those are the two. Otherwise, back, everything else is done for you.
Yeah. Remember back in the day with the VCRs, you had to change them all the time? That drive me insane. And, you know, this is a flash 12 o'clock. Oh, no, never like that. But yes, make sure you change all your clocks today. So that's my PSA. That's my good thing for the day.
Dress warm as well.
Yeah, Matt and I have been talking about it all day. Big storm heading northeast on Monday into Tuesday. Lots of lot of wind, a lot of snow, maybe some. I'm hoping for rain. I'd rather have rain than snow. I don't want to shovel. I don't live in the city. I live out in Never Land. So I'm hoping for that. So who do you think, give me your biggest winner, NFL free agency, team or player or both?
Well, I think it will wind up being the Texans because I think Tony Romo goes there. I think that. But, I mean, as of right now, it's the Patriots.
Yeah.
I mean.
Yeah, that's the first. But it's interesting. I mean, this is pretty much a bookend for us. We came in talking about the Patriots, and we're going to go out talking about them. I mean, wow. Just what. You know, it's funny. The first couple of days, they suffered some losses. So you started going, oh, maybe this won't be the Patriots year. Then all of a sudden, you know, they get Gilmore. I understand Gilmore's a risk somewhat. They didn't trade Malcolm Butler for Cooks. So they kept their cornerbacks now are, you know, plus you got, I mean, wow. You know, and then you add Cooks. Gronk's coming back. Edelman will be healthy, we assume, going into next season. You still got the young kids at wide receiver.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this team is stacked. They're going for it again with Tom Brady.
And like I said, the way their defense has worked, it's the scheme. They just have to do a great job with the scheme. I mean, they lose good players every year that they have. They're always turning over, getting good players as well, but it's always like a turnover going on with them. But it's a great scheme over there.
Garoppolo get traded?
I'm going to say no.
I'm going to say yes, just mainly to be a little different. But I'm starting to lean maybe your way here. Maybe he doesn't get traded here. So you think Romo goes to Houston?
I'm saying Houston. I think that's his landing spot.
Just for giggles, where does Cutler go? Do you care? Anybody care?
I don't care. I'd like to see him go with the Jets and just be more of a dumpster fire there.
Oh, God. That would be a dumpster. That's just putting gas on the fire. He would not mesh well here.
No.
That wouldn't be a good. His personality is not going
to
play.
And whoever brings him in to play here should pretty much be fired anyway. That's such a terrible move.
Well, the Jets may be getting all their wishes anyway. If they have one more bad season, I don't think that regime's coming back. I think they'll all be canned. I think we both believe that Cousins stays in Washington.
Yes.
Not going to go anywhere there. So I'm curious to see what happens over the next week. You know, I think after next week, things will really calm down until the draft anyway. So once again, Matt, I want to thank you.
Thank you, and have a good weekend, and have a great show tomorrow with Mike.
I will try and do that. Pete Considori, Behind the Glass. Pete, thank you so much today.
Thank you, guys. You did awesome. Awesome show.
Always fun. It's always fun to work
thank
with you,
Pete.
Guys. Once again, I want to say goodbye. We had a cast of thousands here. Thank you, everybody, for listening. Hope you enjoyed the show. Mike Blewett and I, once again, back tomorrow, 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Following me now, you know, we have guys following us. Weekend Fantasy Update, Frank, Mike, Joe. Take care, everybody. Have a good weekend.